Digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Can I assume there is no change in the status of President Hassan?
I'm afraid not.
Then he is still being held by terrorists. If Hassan dies, there is no agreement.
If I didn't know better, I'd think you were hoping for that to happen.
Jack thinks that someone inside of CTU is working for the terrorists. Jack recovered Terran's cell phone from the crash. If someone did call to tip him off, we can get the number off the memory.
It's Dana's phone.
I spoke to Hastings. He cleared me through, Jim.
Stay where you are and keep your hands where I can.
You just entered the parking garage.
Ortiz shoots Dana's front tires out. She now gets the Jack treatment.
The only reason you've got any leverage right now is because President Hassan is alive. So stop screwing with me!
They are going to force him to make a statement, and then they're going to kill him.
Just read the statement, Omar. You will renounce the peace agreement.
I will never do that.
He's stronger than we thought. Prepare the internet feed. I will tell the world of his crimes.
This man is not our president. He's an arrogant...
Jack, looks like Samir's wrapping it up. You need to get in there right now.
I have a visual on Hassan. Ready to engage.
Jack takes out all three of the terrorists, only to discover that Hassan has already been brutally murdered. He shuts the president's eyes reverentially.
Sorry. The following takes place between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m.
President Taylor stands looking sadly out of the window.
Yes?
I have Jack Bauer on the line for you.
Put him through.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Jack.
Madam President, I don't know what to say. Except that I'm sorry.
I trust there was nothing you and your team could have done differently.
No, ma'am. President Hassan was dead before we even got there.
Then you don't owe me an apology.
I failed you, ma'am.
It was Hassan's choice to surrender himself in order to save American lives. It was out of your hands. Don't put this responsibility on yourself.
Madam President, you need to keep this peace agreement alive.
There can't be any agreement. When the IRK is without a leader, Jack, the hardliners there will take advantage of the vacuum and reverse all the progress we made with Hassan. I'm going to have to address the delegates in a few minutes and announce the dissolution of the peace summit and formally release them.
Ma'am, if you give up, it means they win.
I don't see another choice, Jack. I wish to God I did. Goodbye, Jack.
Jack's expression is grave. Ortiz approaches a medical orderly. Samir lies on a gurney wearing an oxygen mask.
What's his condition?
He took a round of the shoulder, another through the abdomen, but it exited clean. BP looks steady.
Look, we need this guy for questioning. Is he gonna make it or not?
Doesn't look like any vitals were hit. He'll live.
All right. We'll transport him back to CTU. Medical will take him for now.
The paramedic follows Cole away. Another man in the same paramedic uniform watches him go and then furtively bends over Samir's prone body. Producing a slim syringe, he injects something into Samir's neck. Pocketing the syringe, he walks away as inconspicuously as he can. As he starts down the stairs, he has to squeeze past Renee. She pauses and casts a suspicious look back down at the man as he disappears. She continues on her way.
Jack.
President Taylor's going to formally announce the end of the peace conference.
Jack, you did everything you could.
It wasn't enough.
I should get back to CTU.
Why? If your world's been recovered, peace conference is over. Everybody who is responsible is either dead or in custody.
Halt.
Status on Samir.
He's still unconscious, but the EMTs say he'll make it.
OK. Okay, good. I want you to stay with him. I'm handing over complete authority and responsibility for his transport to you.
You heading back to CTU?
No. We're going home. We're done.
Hastings is still probably going to want to debrief both of you.
I'm sure he will. He knows how to find me.
I'm sorry I ended up like this, Jack.
Me too. You're a good agent, Cole. I wouldn't be standing here without you. Thank you. I hope everything works out. I'll have my kid up downstairs.
Cole watches as Jack and Renee head off down the stairs. President Taylor works at her desk. Woods appears.
Madam President, the delegates are assembled in the lounge as you requested.
Let's get this over with.
Discontinue the peace summit that was to be a cornerstone of her administration. President Hassan apparently had been kidnapped earlier and then taken to this tenement building on Holland Avenue in the Bronx.
On behalf of my country, you have our deepest sympathy for this terrible tragedy. Though, on a personal level, I imagine you have mixed feelings right now.
I beg your pardon?
Hassan had you arrested without cause during his purge of suspected enemies, allowed you to be brutally interrogated. I would think you have little love for the men.
President Hassan was under tremendous stress, and he lost his way. But I never stopped believing in what he stood for.
Of course, I meant no offense.
I'm sure you did. Excuse me.
Novakovic looks on sinisterly. Jamot meets Taylor as she arrives at the lounge.
President Taylor.
Minister Jamot.
If you can spare a few moments, I need to speak with you.
I will be happy to sit down with you after I've addressed the other delegations.
I know you are intending to announce the end of the peace summit.
But there may be a way to prevent that from happening. Before you do anything, I need you to hear what I have to say.
All right.
Ma'am, what about the delegates?
Just give me a moment. Let's go in here, please.
807.
Not learn the identity of the terrorists in the video holding President Hassan hostage. Federal agents knew that the broadcast was coming.
Yes.
Samir's men were all dead, thanks to the Americans. Samir was the only one left, but I took care of him.
So there is no connection to us, we're in the clear.
Maybe not. There was a woman there who might have recognized me.
What woman?
She may be CTU, I'm not sure, but I've seen her face before.
Where?
6 years ago, when we were using that mobster, Vladimir Letanen, to smuggle military weapons out of the country, she was with him.
And you're sure it was her?
I don't forget faces.
Where is she now?
In a taxi cab, just ahead of me, with Jack Bauer.
Bauer? Are they going to see to you?
I don't think so, no.
Then it seems unlikely she recognized you.
Better not to take the chance. I'll take out Bauer too while I'm at it.
The Americans believe the IRK were solely behind the recent attacks. Killing Bauer and this woman would only alert them to the fact that others were involved. How long before they discovered it was us?
It will take even less time if this woman remembers me. What are my orders?
Continue to follow them, keep them in sight. And I'll get back to you.
Novakovic hangs up somewhat tensely. The fake paramedic removes his Bluetooth and focuses on following Renee and Jack's cab. 808, end of part 1. Part 2, 813, Jack and Renee are driven by cab. Novakovic looks on shrewdly. The Air Force Base runway is crowded with helicopters. Dahlia and Kyla Hassan sit in the waiting area. Taylor enters.
I don't have the words to tell you and Kyla how sorry I am.
I know you did everything in your power.
She turns to Jamot.
Jamot, I wasn't aware that you were here.
I only arrived a short time ago.
I want you to know that in our last few hours together, Omar expressed his regrets to me, not the least of which was his treatment of you.
I appreciate that.
Mrs. Hassan, I realize our timing's intrusive, but there's something we need to discuss privately.
Did you find him, President Taylor? The man who killed my father?
Samir Maran. Yes.
He was badly wounded, but he'll live to stand trial, and believe me, he will pay dearly for what he's done.
Kyla, darling, I need to speak with President Taylor alone. Give us a few minutes.
Kyla wipes her tear-stained face and withdraws. Dahlia, Taylor, and Jamot cross to sit on sofas either side of a low table.
What is it that you wish to talk to me about?
Mrs. Hassan, as you know, for almost a year, your husband and I worked to make this peace agreement a reality. And in that time, I saw the kind of leader he was. He managed against difficult odds to bring a fractious and contentious parliament together. But now that he's gone, your country is going to be thrown into turmoil.
I'm aware of the challenges that we are facing. Why are you telling me this?
Clearly, someone needs to take the reins of the IRK government. Someone who believes in the same ideals and principles as Omar Hassan and who shares his strength. Minister Jamot believes that that person should be you.
What?
I'm not the only one who believes it. I've spoken to our delegation as well as with the other members of our cabinet back home. You represent our best. Our only real chance to preserve our government and your husband's agenda.
You are out of your mind. I am no politician.
But you're a martyr's wife. And history has proven that to be something far more powerful. You have always been popular with the people. The vast majority of them want peace. They will rally around you. The Council of Guardians will have no choice but to recognize you as successor to the presidency.
But I have a choice. You assume too much of me, Jamot.
Dahlia stares out of the window, breathing deeply. Taylor glances at Jamot and then crosses to Dahlia.
I realize that this is a lot to consider, especially now while you're grieving. But without a unifying figure to hold your country together, everything your husband worked for will be for nothing.
Dahlia thinks long and hard and then turns an intense gaze on Taylor.
President Taylor, my marriage to Omar was far from perfect. We had many problems for a very long time.
I know only too well how difficult it is for a marriage to survive a life in politics.
But through it all, I never stopped loving him, or sharing his desire for better relations with the West. It is the will of my people and of my government. I will take my husband's place at the peace conference.
It will be my honor to stand with you. We'll make the announcement together from the United Nations. Mrs. Hassan, thank you.
Jamot bows as Taylor exits, leaving Dahlia rooted to where she stands by the window. Taylor comes out to find Tim Woods standing deep in thought.
She's going to do it.
Oh, that's incredible news, Madam President.
I want every delegate contact to personally tell them to cancel any plans to leave the country. We are returning to the UN.
Yes, ma'am. I'll also call CTU and implement those changes we discussed if I still have your permission.
That's your decision. Do what you think is best.
Yes, ma'am.
At CTU, Hastings spots Cole returning.
Where's Bao?
Jack left the scene, took Renee with him. Hassan's death hit him pretty hard. Samir's been taken to medical to get patched up.
Is he conscious?
Barely.
You let me know the second he's ready for questioning.
Sir.
Sarah Wilson's on the line.
Put him through.
CTU O'Brien.
This is Tim Woods with Homeland Security.
Hold on, I'll put you through to Mr. Hastings.
No, actually, I'm calling to speak with you, Miss O'Brien.
Me? Are you sure?
I know this is an unusual circumstance, so I'll get straight to the point. President Taylor and the foreign dignitaries are returning to the UN shortly, where the president will announce her intent to move forward with the signing of the peace agreement.
What? Excuse me, but how can she do that without President Hassan?
I'm not at liberty to say just yet, but our immediate concern is whether CTU is capable of handling security for the rest of the process. It's already been infiltrated by an enemy agent and compromised more than once today.
We cannot have any more mistakes.
Are you suggesting I'm responsible for those mistakes?
On the contrary. I reviewed the hourly reports, and from what I see, you made some astute calls and proven to be very resourceful throughout this crisis.
Okay. So why are you calling me?
I'm relieving Brian Hastings of his post effective immediately. We're now in the the process of vetting suitable candidates to replace him, but until we find someone, you'll have provisional command.
You're putting me in charge?
For the time being. I know your record at CTU's LA branch and how important you were during the Sangala crisis. There's nobody in that building that has more experience than you do.
Sir, you're making a mistake. What happened with President Hassan and everything else wasn't Mr. Hastings' fault.
Chloe, I don't have time to debate this with you. The division feels you're the most qualified to step in, and I agree. My decision's made, now accept it, and let's move on.
Does Mr. Hastings know?
Division's informing him as we speak. Just try to make the transition as quick and painless as possible. I'll be in touch as soon as the president arrives at the UN.
Yes, sir.
Woods hangs up, his expression very reflective. Chloe sits there, appalled at the situation. She pulls herself out of it, however, and heads up the stairs towards Hastings' office.
Come in.
Mr. Hastings.
It's okay, Chloe.
I just want you to know, I don't think it's fair what they're doing, laying all the blame on you.
Everything that happens here is my responsibility. The successes and the failures. I recruited Dana Walsh into this agency. I let the snake into the garden. I need to review protocols with you. Let's not waste any time.
Chloe nods. Jack and Renee arrive at his apartment.
Did you live here long?
No, just during my recovery. You know, I still think I got some coffee around here.
8:21. Renee removes her jacket and loosens her hair while Jack busies himself in the open-plan kitchen. Renee walks slowly around, taking things in. She pauses at a set of shelves, pulling out a framed photo from a box.
What's her name, your granddaughter?
Terry. Kim named her after her mom.
Renee's expression clouds and she turns sympathetically to Jack.
Jack, listen. I know that we've said a lot of things to each other. And you've made promises to me about... I just want you to know that I'm not going to hold you to them. It's been a terrible day, and I know that we say things in the moment, and I don't want you to...
Jack kisses her. She responds. Jack presses her against the bookshelves as their kissing intensifies. He places a hand under her right thigh and hitches her up, legs around his waist. They continue kissing passionately as he walks decisively towards the bedroom. An old man wearing spectacles and a cardigan sits reading paperwork.
Hello? Somebody there?
The old man gets up from his desk. He peers into a side room. He peeps out through the door. As he turns back, he is suddenly and expertly stabbed to death by the Russian who was earlier masquerading as the paramedic. The Russian crosses coolly to the window and pulls out a telescopic sight. He trains this on a window opposite and lines up the crosshairs on a cheval mirror which reflects a glimpse of Renee and Jack making love naked. The Russian lowers the sight, coldly confident. 8:23, end of part 2. Part 3, 8:27, the Russian sets up his gun. Taylor prepares to leave her office.
Take my briefcase to Marine One and tell the Secret Service I'll be ready to leave shortly. And send Mr. Novakovich in.
Yes, ma'am.
Taylor's assistant takes the briefcase and goes out. Taylor stands, collecting herself before Novakovich enters.
Mr. Novakovich.
Thank you for seeing me, Madam President.
Not at all. What can I do for you?
I just had a curious phone call from Tim Woods.
indicating that you are intending to move forward with the peace initiative from the IRK.
That's correct.
May I ask how you propose to do this, considering their leader is dead?
Well, I intended to answer that question during my address to the Assembly, but since you're asking, Dalia Hassan will be signing the agreement in her husband's stead.
That's an interesting idea, Madam President, but I don't see how she would have the authority to sign such a document.
She's getting it from her government now. Their parliament called an emergency session to ratify her as provisional president. The letter confirming that is forthcoming.
Madam President, I appreciate your optimism, but I don't understand how you can believe that installing Hassan's widow as some kind of figurehead will alleviate our concerns about the instability of the IRK government. With President Hassan dead, the opposition will only get stronger.
Hassan's death will galvanize his supporters and every advocate of this peace process to endorse her as his successor.
You can't be certain of that.
Once again, Mr. Novakovich, you're giving every indication that Russia has no interest in this peace accord.
I'm sorry that you feel that way, Madam President, but the fact remains that we are no longer confident that any meaningful progress can be made. Respectfully, my country will be declining to sign your peace document. Excuse me.
Do I need to take this up with President Suvorov myself?
If you like, but I can assure you I have full authority on this matter. Any decision that I make represents the formal position of the Russian government. Good day.
Taylor's expression registers bitter disappointment and frustration. She gets up decisively and crosses to the door.
Agent Peters, I need to see Secretary Kanan now.
Yes, ma'am. Liberty's on the move.
We managed to clear a blockage in one of your coronary arteries, and the x-rays show the heart muscle tissue damage to be less than we expected.
In other words, I'm a tough son of a bitch.
You're a lucky man, I'll say that for you, Mr. Secretary.
I guess that means I can resume my duties.
Although the procedure was non-invasive, I prefer to take it easy for a little while.
That isn't a no.
Hello, Ethan. How are you feeling?
Well, I've seen better days.
Would you give us a few moments, please?
Of course.
Thank you.
8:30. The doctor withdraws. Taylor pushes Kanan's wheelchair.
You heard about Hassan.
Tim Woods told me. He also filled me in on the IRK plan to install Dalia Hassan.
What do you think?
Her family's well connected and powerful. I think it's an inspired idea.
Well, the Russians don't. Novakovich told me in no uncertain terms they won't accept her. They're using it as an excuse to pull out of the signing. Even if the IRK has a new leader, the peace agreement won't stand without Moscow's endorsement. I need your help, Ethan. You got the Russians to the table. What can I do to keep them there?
There may be someone who can help us here. But you're not going to like it.
Who?
Charles Logan.
Logan? Ethan, you can't be serious. The man's a criminal. I don't care if he was pardoned.
I didn't agree with President Daniels' decision either. But the fact is, he's left several messages at my office over the past hour. Apparently, he's aware of the Russians' reticence in signing the agreement. He's offered his assistance.
How could he possibly know about this?
Well, despite his political downfall, he's managed to maintain a uniquely close relationship with Moscow. His messages indicated he has information which might prove useful in keeping the Russians at the table.
What information?
He didn't say. Allison, I don't trust this man any more than you do. But I'd be remiss if I didn't urge you to at least hear him out.
Taylor agonizes. At CTU, Hastings and Chloe come down the stairs into the operations room.
Okay, listen up, everyone, please. I've never been very good at goodbyes. But I want to tell you what an honor it's been for me to have served with each and every one of you. Division is now vetting names to replace me. In the meantime, Chloe O'Brien will be in charge, and I'm sure you will show her the same level of loyalty and commitment that you've all shown me. Thank you.
Hastings smiles at the stunned staff and walks away. Chloe goes after him.
Sir.
Don't worry, Chloe. You can do this.
I hope so. I just want to say we had a rough start, but I eventually really enjoyed working for you.
I'm happy to say that I was wrong about you. If I had listened to you in the beginning, maybe things would have turned out differently.
I doubt it.
I'll be at division debriefing, but I'm available to you if you have any questions.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck.
Mr. Hastings, I have Agent Ortiz on the line. They have a situation at medical.
This one's all yours, Chloe.
So, Brian.
Cole, it's Chloe.
Where's Hastings?
He's not here. What happened?
Samir's just gone into cardiac arrest.
What?
84 milligrams epinephrine and 275 lidocaine.
I'll be right there.
Clear.
The doctor applies the paddles.
Going again? Going again at 360. Clear.
Despite the extra charge, Samir continues to flatline. The doctor looks at Ortiz and shakes his head.
Doc?
What happened? I thought his injuries were not life-threatening.
So did I. Where the hell is Hastings?
He's been removed by division.
Who's in command?
I am, until they find a replacement. You were with Samir the whole time.
All the way from the scene, yeah.
What about at the scene?
He may have been out of my sight for a few minutes. Emergency personnel were with him. Look, we gotta move his body to the morgue for an autopsy.
Not yet. Order a preliminary toxicology panel.
But they'll run a full panel during the autopsy.
I want it done now.
Chloe, he was barely conscious. He couldn't have taken something off himself.
No, but somebody could have given it to him.
Chloe looks at him gravely. Cole turns to the doctor.
Do as she says.
I'll be in Hastings' office. My office. Let me know when you find something.
Chloe hurries out, leaving Cole looking perplexed. The doctors are getting busy around Samir's body. 8:35. 8:39, the Russian is taking aim at Jack's flat. Jamot talks earnestly to Dalia Hassan.
A few of the more conservative members of our delegation may continue to resist you. But we can persuade them.
Perhaps if I spoke to them personally.
Very good idea.
They turn as Kyla comes back into the room. Jamot rises and takes a step towards her.
Miss Kyla, I didn't get the chance to tell you how deeply sorry I am.
Thank you.
Well, I will see you both back at the UN.
The UN? I thought you were going home.
No, not yet. There are new developments. I'll explain them to you on the way.
What is going on, Mother? Why did President Taylor and Jamot want to speak with you alone?
They have asked me to consider staying on to complete your father's work.
I don't understand. What does that mean?
Our party wishes to appoint me as the new president.
What was your answer? You told them you couldn't possibly accept, not after what's happened.
Kyla, our country is on the verge of a coup by the people responsible for the murder of your father. Someone must lead.
You can't beat them. Don't you realize that by now?
I don't believe that. I won't. And the greatest blow I can strike against them is to sign the peace agreement. This will be your father's legacy.
It will be a death sentence for you. You want peace to live, but all these people want is anarchy. Mama, they'll kill you.
Enough! You are not the only one who has suffered today. This was not an easy decision for me, but it was mine to make. I do not need you to remind me of the danger. I need you to help me be strong. Now pull yourself together. There is a car waiting for us.
Dalia sails out of the room, leaving Kyla looking like a limp rag. She has no choice but to wipe her eyes and follow her mother. 8:42 at the UN.
Well, I'm sure the media does want a response, but I'm not ready to give them one just yet. I'll have to wait. All right. Thank you.
press secretary says the Russians are already leaking to the news channels their intention to reluctantly pull out of the talks.
You don't like wasting time.
Has my guest arrived?
Yes, ma'am. I had Secret Service bring him into the freight entrance and then deliver him discreetly at the conference room number 3, as you asked.
Thank you, Tim.
Yes, ma'am.
Taylor heads off dourly. Former President Logan stands looking out of a window, alone except for one young man standing across the room. Spotting Taylor approaching, Logan straightens his jacket and goes towards the door, nodding at the other man and collecting his thoughts in preparation for his meeting. Taylor enters.
Madam President, let me convey my condolences on the loss of President Hassan. I know you worked closely with him. This must be very hard for you.
Thank you for your sympathy, Mr. President. If you don't mind, I'd like to talk to you alone.
This is my executive assistant, Jason Piller. I assure you, he can be trusted.
Forgive me if I don't give much weight to your endorsement. He needs to leave.
Excuse us, Jason.
Piller leaves. Logan crosses to face Taylor over a polished conference table.
Let's get something straight. I agreed to this meeting only at the behest of Secretary Kanan. Now, I'm not sure you're entirely aware of the situation.
My understanding is the Russians are rejecting Dalia Hassan as a legitimate successor and as a result won't sign off on the peace agreement.
You're well informed.
I have close friends in Moscow. In some ways, people there appreciate me more than the people in my own country.
It wasn't their constitution you trampled. The Russians have been trying to back out of this agreement from day one. Do you honestly think your relationships can change their minds?
I'm certain I can.
How?
Let's just say I'm going to be able to exercise some leverage.
What kind of leverage?
If it gets the job done, does it really matter?
It does to me.
I can promise you no laws will be broken, nothing will tarnish you or your presidency, but the details really must stay between me and the Russians.
Taylor seems very uncomfortable with this.
You and President Hassan created the framework for the most significant peace in a generation, and you got the entire world behind it. To let the Russians tear down what should be the crown jewel in your administration.
Don't play me. This is about you trying to repair your reputation.
Is that so hard to understand?
You participated in a conspiracy to cover up the assassination of David Palmer.
I was trying to protect the country from an unnecessary trauma.
Don't! You were doing what was best for yourself.
Yes. You're right, Madam President. You're right. I suppose I spent so many years trying to justify my actions that it's become difficult for me to own up to the truth. I made mistakes, terrible mistakes, that stained the office of the presidency, and for which I will be paying the rest of my life. But I still can be of value to my country. I can still do some good. Look, we both know you wouldn't have called me unless you were out of options. So, we can continue to dwell on the past, or you can let me pursue the only chance you have of resurrecting the peace process. Please. Let me help you. Thank you.
What do you intend to do first?
Arrange a meeting with the Russian delegate Novakovich. Get a message to him at his hotel. Tell him that you are sending over your official emissary to have a talk with him.
What if he doesn't agree to this meeting?
Make sure he knows it's me. He'll agree to it.
God help you if you make me regret this.
Logan looks back at her with a wide-eyed, slightly wounded expression. She turns away and walks out. There is the faintest suggestion of wry amusement on Logan's wily old face as he watches her leave. 8:47, end of part 3. Part 4, 8:51, Jack and Renee lie together.
You okay? Good. Promise. I'm so thirsty. Do you want me to get you something to drink?
Sure.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Renee lies back. As Jack pulls on his jeans, she runs her hand fondly over the terrible wheels on his back. She smiles as he slips on his shirt. Jack is caught in the crosshairs of the assassin's rifle as he heads off to the kitchen. The shooter focuses back on Renee, but only has her reflection in the mirror still. Renee lies there smiling. She turns towards the ringing mobile on the floor on the safe side of the bed.
Jack, your cell's ringing.
Don't worry about it, let it go.
Renee picks up the phone. The caller ID announces Chloe O'Brien. Renee takes the call.
Hello, Jack's phone.
Renee, it's Chloe. I need to talk to Jack.
What's wrong?
Samir Mehran is dead. I think he was assassinated.
What do you mean, assassinated?
I ran a preliminary toxicology report. It showed traces of an unidentified toxin in his bloodstream. Someone must have injected him with it, probably at the scene.
There was an EMT there. He looked familiar. There was so much going on, I didn't take much notice.
Familiar? From where?
I need you to get my FBI case files. Get me everything you have on Red Square.
You think he was from the Russian mob?
He looked like somebody who was with Vladimir Lutanin during the time I was under.
That was 6 years ago. Are you sure?
Honestly, no. Just send me the case files. All the surveillance photos that were taken, and I'll see if he's in there.
Okay.
Jack, you need to hear this. Samir?
Jack turns, spotting a hole in the window.
Renee!
He ducks beneath the window ledge and then darts across and pulls her to safety. She has a bullet hole plumb in the center of her abdomen.
Jay, there?
Don't talk. I'm planning to get you to a hospital.
What happened?
Who is this?
It's Chloe.
Chloe's Jack. Renee's been hit by a sniper. Through the window of my apartment. We're still taking fire. I need a trauma team at St. Andrews now. Hold on. Stay with me. Go ahead. Let's go.
Hoisting Renee into his arms, Jack pauses for a second at the door and then runs the gauntlet of the fearsome barrage of bullets. He makes it to the front door. The shooter, frustrated, picks up his rifle and heads out. Jack carries Renee down staircases and along corridors. The assassin runs at speed with his rifle through similar corridors. Jack comes down a marbled staircase and into the foyer. As Jack hurries out through the foyer, the assassin emerges onto a fire escape with a view onto the street. Jack just manages to slip into a taxi before the man can take aim.
We need to get to the hospital. St. Andrews Hospital, 22nd night.
The assassin, failing to get a shot in, turns away in frustration. The cab races away. Renee looks very far from well. The cab driver veers into the path of another cab, only just avoiding a collision.
Come on, come on. I got you. It'll be all right. We're almost there.
There's two blocks from your hospital and should be there any minute. Please make sure she's given priority care. Thank you. Arlo, pull up satellite. Isolate the areas between 8th Avenue and West 18th Street.
What's going on?
Renee Walker was just shot.
What?
Just do what I asked. Jack said the sniper was positioned at his apartment at 1145 West 18th Street. Roll back the feed 3 minutes.
Is she gonna be okay?
He's rushing her to the hospital now.
I get it. Why would anyone want to kill Renee?
Got a gunshot wound to the chest. Let's move.
Trauma team, standing by.
What's your pulse?
110. Respiratory is still ragged.
Check a carotid.
BP is 80 over 50.
Right here. What do we have?
Five is prep.
I'm gonna take care of you. OF5, let's go.
How many gunshot wounds?
One to the chest. Right here.
Is the patient typing cross?
No.
Call the blood bank. Send up 4 units of O negative.
Right away.
Come on.
Let's go, people.
Jack raises both his arms to his head. His face is a tragic mask. His shirt front is soaked in Renee's blood. Dalia Hassan arrives at the UN. Taylor and Novakovic do likewise. Logan glances rather smugly across at Pillar. Jack sits, near distraction, in the hospital corridor. Jack works his phone out of his pocket.
Yeah.
Jack, it's Chloe. How is she?
Not good.
Roll back satellite to the area around your building. Shots were fired from an office across the street. PD reported finding a body at the scene.
What about the shooter?
We don't have anything. We lost him.
You were on the phone with her right before she got shot. What were you talking about?
It's not important right now. Just
be with her.
She's in surgery, Chloe. I can't. What were you talking about?
I told her what I'm calling to tell you. Samir Mehran was given a lethal injection at the scene of his capture, probably to keep him from talking. Renee thought she may have recognized one of the EMTs.
She didn't say anything to me.
She wasn't sure. She didn't think it meant anything at the time.
Where did she say she remembered him from?
From her days undercover with the Russian mob.
She asked me to get her the Red Square file.
Did you pull up the file?
Yes.
A nurse emerges from the theater looking downbeat.
Jack?
I gotta get back to you.
The surgeon approaches Jack.
I'm sorry she didn't make it. It was just too much arterial damage and blood loss. I'm very sorry.
Jack stares blankly ahead in disbelief. He struggles to control his grief and begins walking slowly towards the operating theater. He stops in the doorway, beholding Renee's body lying on the table draped in blue cloth. There is a terrible bloodstain at her midriff. Jack's lips tremble. He drags his feet towards where she lies. He gazes down tragically at her face, which is now in repose and quite beautiful. Jack leans down and kisses her forehead. Overwhelmed now, he places his forehead against hers. 9 a.m. The end.